You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, I'm Captain Dean, and welcome back to another episode. My guest is a incredibly talented singer, songwriter, guitarist with a really cool story to tell about her time in the local music scene, which hasn't been very long.
No.
But it is kind of long, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Kinzie Crow, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We are at Mellow Matt's Music and More.
Yes.
Which is the place where I first saw you in person
perform,
which was a couple years ago, actually, at this point.
Yeah.
But you were right here in this very spot that we are sitting. And, of course, we will touch on all of that.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the very beginning, which everyone that listens to these podcasts loves hearing this. Where are you from?
Bowling Green.
Yes. You are a native.
I'm a native.
Yeah. Obviously, you've been here your whole life.
Yes.
And what got you into music?
Well, I'm part of a musical family. So ever since I was a little girl, my dad had a drum kit in the house. And I actually have my own drum kit, my own purple little drum kit that I would play too. And so I went to this thing called Kinder Music, and so in kindergarten I was introduced to music, and there was a picture on the wall with all the orchestra instruments, and I saw the cello up there, and I was like, hey, I want to play that.
So you were what, like 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, I was a youngster.
Wow.
So I saw that, and I was like, I want to play that. So
And you did.
We did, yeah. We rented a little cello, like a little, I don't even know.
So you were doing that long before like even like school band.
Yeah, well, I was homeschooled, so I didn't even school band.
Gotcha.
I was in a high school orchestra when I was in middle school, though.
I'm just so used to the stories of people that get into their school band when they're like 5th or 6th grade.
Yeah.
You were doing this in kindergarten.
Yeah, I was in kindergarten, and I started taking lessons, and...
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah. I started taking lessons at... there was like this old house in town. I don't remember what it was called, but there was like, I don't know, it was like a music house that people taught in. And so I took lessons there for a little bit, and then that teacher left, and I came to Western, and I was taught under Sarah Berry, who is, she's a cello professor there. So I took lessons from her for about, I think, 8 years.
On campus?
On campus.
In
I was on campus.
Center?
Yeah, I was in
I
was on campus when I was like 10,
yeah.
You know, taking lessons.
And you are on campus now.
Yeah, I'm on campus now.
I see you all the time. It's funny. I'm like, hey, Miss Kinzie.
Yeah, so...
That's cool.
Yeah.
This has been your life.
Yes.
Like, you, to be in this music scene, you are, like... music, like, it is so
live
much
and
a
breathe
part
it.
Of your life. That is really cool.
Yeah.
So, wow, taking lessons at such a young age on campus with a teacher.
Yeah.
An actual...
Yeah, I would be walking around and all the college students would be looking at me and I would be like... Because I had to carry my own cello, you know.
They probably thought you were attending.
really.
She must be really good. So... You were what? Like I said, 5 or 6, right?
When I first started, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then cello.
And that was your life. When did you dabble into other instruments, so to speak?
I didn't start doing that until like 5 years ago.
So that is really new.
Guitar is very new to me.
Wow. Well,
very new. But it translated.
Very comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, it translated really well. And,
you're doing the cello thing, and obviously that was, let's say, a good decade, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say technically now, too. I don't play now as much as I used to, but I could still pull it out.
Still do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do a map of the timeline.
Yeah.
If you were about 5 or 6 years old, up until 5 years ago, what is
12.
That?
14, 15, 16.
Because I'm being 17, polite 18, by not asking 19. How old you are.
Okay, so I've been playing for 13 years.
13 years.
13 years playing music.
And that's music in general, which includes the beginning with the cello.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know this, I was on a fiddler band.
Are you in the Red Roof
Fiddlers? I was in the Red River Fiddlers.
Red River, okay. I yeah. Always Red Roof.
I was in that for a little bit. And then I started taking cello lessons in Nashville under Paul Nelson, who's a session cellist.
Yeah.
He has like a solo in the new U2 album. Like you can hear him playing in there and it's so cool. I love Paul. He's
and you
awesome.
Taught him some things, right?
Oh yeah, sure. No, he taught me, he really introduced me to like they call it commercial style cello. So right. That's more like mainstream playing with just like, you know, pop records or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he really introduced me to that world and jazz.
Okay.
And I started improvising on cello. He really taught me how to improvise and scales and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And the same time.
And feel and flow with it.
Yeah, yeah. At the same time I'm taking these lessons, I took voice lessons from Liana Pace in town. I was taking voice lessons, too. And then I was also, I don't know how long I've been recording for Johnny Thompson, but I was recording cello pieces for Johnny Thompson and for like Palmer St. Clair.
Yep. And that's where your name first caught my attention because I'd known Johnny forever.
Yeah.
I think I was like the last drummer of Envious State or something like that. But I've known Johnny for such a long time. And when he started the Scottsville Conservatory, I remember your name was brought up a lot because, you know, obviously you were young, but you were also talented. So, of course.
Well, thank you.
I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He
says he knows what he's doing.
He does.
No, I'm just kidding.
He can joke about it, but we all know the truth.
Yeah,
but,
I love
Johnny. You guys live in Allen County, Scottsville area.
Yeah.
So that's how you got connected with Johnny?
I got connected to Johnny through the Red River Fiddlers.
Okay.
Because he was recording. He was recording the Fiddlers at the time, and the teacher of the Red River Fiddlers, she really taught me a lot of music theory.
Cool.
And she introduced me to Johnny. And she introduced me to Matt.
That's awesome.
She did. She got me the gig here at Mellow Matt's.
That's awesome. Which would have been the family band, right?
Well, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Because the Red River Fiddlers did not perform here.
Oh, no. No.
I may have seen you if you were in that band around a certain time.
You probably did.
They performed at Cheney's Dairy Barn.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be there eating ice cream, and they're like, and now we're going to have a concert. And I was like,
what?
What?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I bet the time frame would have, you may have been in that group. But, man, that's a lot to put into a decade.
And that's not
plus.
That's not even talking about Flaming Hots.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're about to do just that. But your dad, Kevin, was a professional drummer, right?
Yes.
Now, prior to you being born?
Yeah. He was, I mean, he had been playing since he was little, too.
Right.
Really.
And one day, your mom, Carol, and I got into this conversation about, I worked at Fork's Drum Closet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she thinks that he used to come in there when I was working.
I believe
it.
And
we had talked.
That's so
crazy.
And
I was like waiting on them or something.
I believe it. I really do. He goes in there a lot.
Well, you know, it's a good chance, but I just, you know, you meet thousands of people when you work in a music store.
But he goes there so much.
Yeah.
I would
but
believe it.
I would guarantee that we had probably crossed paths at some point in time.
That's really cool.
But that was a cool conversation to have. We just couldn't nail it down, like, to a date and a time and all that stuff.
That's crazy.
But I'm pretty sure I met your dad a long time ago.
That's cool.
And what exactly did he do? Do you know any, like, details of things that he did?
Well, he tried. He had his own band, and He just played around town. He did a lot of, like, I guess he would fill in for people sometimes.
Around Bowling Green area?
No, around Nashville.
Okay.
He's in Nashville.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know who Will Hogue is.
I do.
Who that? Okay, so he played with Will Hogue.
Okay.
He kind of helped him get started, really.
Very nice.
Yeah, I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I think he did.
Maybe.
Will, if you're listening to this, I don't know for sure. But he really
He'll
did.
He'll write a letter.
Oh, no. I hope not. But yeah, I think... he just played around a lot. He was still doing, like, he's a surveyor, so he was still surveying, like, in the daytime and then at nighttime.
He had the good day job.
Yeah.
And he was doing pretty good musically.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Your dad was a professional drummer. and you grew up in that household.
Yes.
I mentioned your mother, and I've become really good friends with all your entire family over the course of, what, the last year or so.
Yeah.
She plays bass, but that's kind of new, right?
Yes.
Okay, was she just a music fan?
When she was younger, she was in the marching band.
Okay.
I think she played the drums first, and then she got tired of carrying them around.
It's extremely safe to say you grew up in a musical household, and both of your parents were musically inclined.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people I've talked to so far have either had one parent that played or neither of them played.
No, my mom played when she was little, and then her dad was like, don't play anymore. Oh. So which sucks.
Yeah.
Screw him.
That's
No, not good at all. So she didn't play anymore. She was teaching herself flute or piccolo. I think she played piccolo because she got tired of carrying the drums, so she went to the lightest instrument possible.
That's the smartest thing to do.
Yeah. So she stopped, and then once the Flaming Hots came around, we needed a bassist, and she was like, I'm going to play bass.
And we will get to that story.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your teen years...
Mm-hmm. I'm still in my teens, okay?
Well, I know, but it's hard to say that. In your early teen years, you were mostly doing cello performance, correct?
Yes.
And you did get in touch with Johnny Thompson. How did that connection come about?
Through the Red River Fiddlers.
Oh, right.
So we met through there, and then the lady I was studying under at the time, she introduced me to Johnny and was like, I think it'd be a good experience for you to learn recording.
Right.
Kind of session work kind of stuff.
Because he does a really cool thing out there with not only lessons, but he puts on performances and allows everyone to kind of demonstrate what they've learned. And
he has his an open mic.
Yeah. The open mics and the recitals are a big thing.
Yeah. His recitals are so fun. You need to go to one.
I've been to one.
Yeah.
I was actually
so
one of the judges, panel judges or whatever it is.
I've been that too.
Yeah, that was really that was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And just watching the kids from the age ranges.
Yeah.
Like, there were little kids and like, high school kids.
And there's adults, too.
I didn't see any adults in this one.
Well,
it was mostly just kids.
I think he actually has
really,
a rule, I don't
It was
know.
Really cool. And, I mean, it just the knowing Johnny's background and his music connection to this Bowling Green music scene, that really is awesome to see someone that has come from this club circuit to go on to be sharing what he's learned and sharing his home and his talents and his studio with all of you.
Yeah.
And you got to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And you have come out of that. I mean, I know you're still friends and everything, but you don't really seem to do it as much as you used to.
What, recording?
Well, just in general, like being out there at open mics and the recitals.
Yeah, it's kind of come to a halt.
Yeah, because you're
for
in college now.
Yeah.
You are attending Western.
For now, it's come to a halt.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Doesn't mean it won't ever happen again.
Right, and the summer's coming up, so what do you think I'm going to do then, huh?
Right. Play music.
Right, exactly.
But being under Johnny and everyone else that you've mentioned, what did lead to you wanting to say, I've kind of gotten to this point with cello, I'm happy, I'm comfortable, I know what I know. What led you to wanting to play guitar and start writing and singing your own songs?
This question is great because it's the most typical Kinsey answer you can get, and it's Jack White.
I was expecting that name to come up
at
some point.
And
the best thing about it is no one can see what I'm seeing right now, but you're sitting here in front of me, and behind you on the wall is records that have Third Man Record logos.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
I'm like, this is as Kinsey as it gets right now.
Yeah.
But I knew that because you are not only a big Jack White fan, but obviously White Stripes and anything Jack has done.
Yes.
That is your biggest source of, like, inspiration.
Yeah. My dad introduced me to the Raconteurs, and that was kind of the first. And I remember he showed me the music videos to, I think it's Icky Thump. Yeah, it's Icky Thump. And I was like, this is weird as hell. I'm not, this is weird. and then I started actually listening to it, and I was like, okay.
It does. It is.
It grows on you.
It does. And I thought that when Blunderbuss came out, I was like, this is weird. But then after the third or fourth time of listening to it,
it's so good.
It's one of those records that I can put it on and listen to it all the way through without skipping a single thing.
That's my favorite album.
And when you can
his.
Do that with a record, that's a good record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite records.
Yeah, me too. So good.
But I knew Jack White had a big influence on you, and so that's what led to you wanting to go, I want to learn how to play guitar.
It was guitar, and just like the singer-songwriter thing, really, because I had never heard music like that before. Mm-hmm. Even though I was in a musical family, that was the first time I'd ever heard anything like that,
right.
And I really liked it, and I was like, okay, here we go.
And you did.
Yeah.
And what year was that? When did all that get started?
I think 2013.
Right. That seems about right.
Because I bought my friend's guitar. I was like, because I didn't have a guitar. I didn't even have a guitar. Right. We didn't have a guitar in the house.
You lived with your dad was a drummer, right?
We had plenty of drums and one cello.
Yep.
And, so.
So you got a guitar, obviously, as a string player.
Yeah.
It wasn't super hard to make, like, the transition.
It wasn't super hard, but, like, I had no trouble with strumming.
Right.
But, like, because those strings are a lot thinner than cello strings.
And plus, cello only has four.
Right. So, I definitely, at first, it hurt to play. Yeah. It really did hurt to play. But then, I suffered through.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to learn. Oh, I wonder if I got a ukulele before that. I don't know. Because I had a ukulele, too.
Seems like you had kind of anything.
Everything I could get my hands on, I was playing.
Because I've been to your old house now. I know you. It was like a music store.
Yeah.
Your rehearsal room.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you got a bass recently, right?
Oh,
or was
that
yours or your mom's?
It's my mom's.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's so confusing.
You posted something of you playing an old
Like an
Fender.
Orange one?
Yeah.
That's my mom's.
That is hers, isn't it? The Mustang?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the color of that one.
I thought I saw you playing like a jazz bass or something.
We have a jazz bass too.
See, I'm crazy sometimes.
No. See, that's what I'm a little confused because I know that we got an electric bass first, I think. I got a guitar and then we got an electric bass around the same time. So I was playing bass too at the same time.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, your cello work.
Yeah.
As a cellist, what have you done locally speaking?
Okay.
And I know I can throw out the name Palmer St. Clair.
Yeah.
And she is on my list, and I'm really hoping at some point to get an interview with her as well. But you played cello on her debut EP,
yes, on her
right?
debut and her newest one, I think.
Right.
I think I'm in that one, too.
That's, like, as we're speaking, that's kind of really, really new.
I don't know
new.
If it's out yet or not.
It may not be, but by
I'm
the time this airs,
too.
It may be.
Yeah.
But I know she's got something coming out. But
yeah.
So you've worked with Palmer.
Here's what it was. Here's what Johnny does. He gives me the music, and then I just play it. So when I played on Palmer's record, I had never met her, and I didn't.
It's like you were a studio session player.
I was a session musician.
That's
so
cool.
And I didn't meet her until I guess she played at open mic, and that was the first time I had ever seen her. I didn't know who she was.
Right.
I didn't know. I don't know because he will. Give me the music, and then I'll just play it. And sometimes, it's for people I don't know who they are. And then he'll have me play on his record.
Right.
Which he chooses the weirdest keys, just so everyone
Johnny's
knows.
Johnny's good. I mean, he's a good songwriter. He's complicated.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It is, I bet. And obviously, you're talented enough to be able to hang with that.
Yeah.
So. But that's cool. So, you're on Palmer's records and recordings, past and upcoming.
Yeah.
Anything else besides Palmer Johnny Thompson?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, I was in the Fiddlers, and I played a lot of classical, like, recitals when I was younger.
Bands, so to speak.
No, yeah. I have gone to this music camp in Florida called Mike Black String Camp.
Yeah, I remember that.
That place, it's so much fun. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And
it's in Florida.
It's in Florida. It's in Vero Beach. It's awesome. And so in that, you break up into like bands of kind of like people that are on the same playing level.
Right.
And you just play like music from around the world.
That's awesome.
And it's the most fun, and that's the most fun cello thing I've ever done. And I'm so sad that I'm not going to be able to go this year. But Yeah, that camp is amazing.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
It's amazing to me what you have achieved in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But yet your life is music.
Yeah.
And you're also already deeply rooted in this music scene.
Yes.
And to say that is just sums it up. I mean, you're a native and you've been doing it your whole life. So that's really cool. But going from what you've already told us, everything you've already brought us up to, you get into playing guitar. You're heavily influenced by Jack White.
Yeah.
The next thing that happens is you are playing your songs and your favorite covers with your father on drums.
Yes.
And your sister.
Yes.
On, she's kind of like the, what do you call it? The
just the instrumentalist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
she plays what? I know she plays like keyboard.
She plays she plays keyboard. She plays mandolin and violin.
Right.
And she's been playing piano since she was about 5 too.
And it shows. When you both play, it's like these gals have been playing for a long time.
She still plays classical. She still takes lessons at Western for classical piano, and she's really good.
And that is what formed Kenzie Crowe and the Flaming Hots.
Yes.
And when the band came together, it came together obviously easy because you all live together. You can rehearse and eat dinner and rehearse again. But you all played at Mellow Mats. And I want to say that was the first time I ever saw you in person.
Yeah. Because.
But it was just the three of you. Your mom did come into the picture and it did become a family band.
Yeah.
Which that was just awesome.
Yeah. That was the second time we played at Mellow Mats.
Really?
The first time was me alone.
Okay.
And
every time you play here, I just want to say this, you seem to cut your finger
and
get blood all over the
screen. Yeah. It sucks.
It sucks, but it's also now tradition.
It's tradition, so I'll do it on purpose every time now.
You have to be weary of that. But what made you want to start that band? Like, what came about to make that happen?
It really just happened naturally. If you think about it, like, if I'm at home practicing a song, everyone's going to jump in. Yeah. So, the first time I played here, it was me, and then Layla came up and played Lazaretta with me.
Right.
And then I actually played the cello in here.
That's cool.
I played the cello. And so the first time was, Layla came in and played. And then I guess we were just practicing or whatever. And then Dad got the, what are they called, cajon?
Yeah, well, it was cajon, and I think he's got a djembe.
I
know he's got different percussive things. I've seen you all here before where he just brought, like, hand drums and stuff.
So he's brought those, and, okay, now that I'm thinking about it, okay, here's what happened. There's so many different things going on at the same time.
Yeah.
When we were in the Red River Fiddlers, Layla joined the Red River Fiddlers, and then my dad joined in and started playing drums in the Red River Fiddlers with the cajon and
I think it's
djembe.
I'm pretty sure it's cajon.
I don't know how to say
I'm going with cajon.
Okay, sure. He's playing the box.
That's even better.
He's playing the box, and so we were playing that in the Red River Fiddlers, as well as at the same time we were playing with the Flaming Hots. He was playing that too.
Okay.
So Flaming Hots and Red River Fiddlers were going on at the same time for a little bit.
But obviously two different worlds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Night and day difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
What they do and what you're doing. But you guys get going. The name's established. It was an awesome name. I mean, I just thought it was a cool name.
Yeah.
And you were part of one of Mellow Mats' record store days.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people walked out of here going, damn, that was really good, you know? And I was one of them.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, obviously that's when I started talking to your dad and your mom.
Yeah.
And then I talked to you guys. And so that's how I got to know you guys.
Yeah.
Over time, you did get to the point where you went in Johnny's studio.
Yes.
And you recorded...
Golden Dish.
Golden Dish. Is that the only thing you've recorded and released so far?
Yes. I've recorded other stuff there, but...
Nothing's come out. Are you sitting on it for the right time?
No, honestly, I don't know where it went, and it needs to stay that way.
Oh, my. So... Learning, but
it's a learning experience.
Wasn't really for the public.
Well, yeah, because I was trying to write and play the cello. And that's an interesting concept, and it could have been done, but I was still really new to the process, yeah. And I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, and
I don't
again,
want
that's,
that out there,
but that's part of yeah. the learning.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was
makes
a student.
Sense to me. I get it.
I'm still a student, but yeah, that's not.
But it
out.
Was it was something you did and you learned
yeah.
from it. So
yeah.
if you ever revisit that,
absolutely,
you'll
yeah.
have fresh, you know,
yeah.
approach to it and everything.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Your mom,
mm-hmm.
Carol.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
I always make sure. I'm always afraid I'm making it wrong.
No, you're right.
It's not Caroline. It's Carol.
Yes.
she comes into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And is playing bass. And mm-hmm. I think I saw you guys one show. It was just you and your sister and your dad.
Yeah.
And then the next show, it was the whole family. And we were all like, wow, it's like a family band.
It
and
is.
It really was.
And not a cheesy one. That's the best part.
But she did so good on picking it up and learning
yeah.
it fairly quick.
Very quick.
And, you know, she... learn the songs and play
yeah.
the songs. And what was cool is that Johnny would come to your shows.
Yeah.
And he would play bass on certain songs.
Yeah.
Or at least Golden Dish,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
because I know he played on the
yeah.
record. But your mom played the rest of the songs mm-hmm. through the show. That's been really awesome to watch. And,
yeah.
And you guys have been doing that for how long now?
The Flaming Hots?
Yeah, well, as with once Carol and
oh,
came
with
in,
mom,
like maybe 2 years at this point?
I would say, yeah.
Close to that? Because I remember when she first played.
Yeah. You know Johnny taught her, right?
Yeah, of
yeah.
course. But she went to that camp with you.
Yes, she did. She
and
had
she
a lot of fun.
Came home with a lot of, like...
Yeah, that camp is amazing.
I came to see her one day, and we'll touch on this real quick.
Uh-huh.
The farmer's market. Your mom has her own ice cream
yes.
business.
Yes.
And
yes.
you can plug that if you would like.
The Status Crow is
that's
a
right.
local ice cream booth, I guess, or ice cream company.
It's a company, but you have your
we
own
have a booth
at the
mm-hmm.
farmers,
at
the community
farmer's
market.
Market. Yeah, and they're about to start carrying our stuff at the Fatted Calf, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's doing really good.
Yes.
And it is, what is it? It's, is it vegan?
Yes, we have a vegan and we have a dairy
okay.
product.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I knew there was a connection there.
Yeah.
But I went by the community farmer's market one mm-hmm. day, and I was talking to your mom.
Yeah.
And she was telling me about that camp in Florida that you all had just returned mm-hmm. from or whatever. She was like, oh, this guy taught me so much. I came back with all these notes and
mm-hmm.
all these things to work on. And
yeah.
she was so excited.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just the neatest thing in the world. And it just, to me, that's like, that's what music's about.
Yeah.
The learning, the excitement of
it. Oh,
the
it's playing so much fun.
And wanting to just mm-hmm. get better and
yeah.
have a good time making music.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what I see when I would see you guys perform.
Yeah.
So you've been doing that now as, well, it's been Kinsey Crow and the Flaming Hots.
Yeah.
As a three-piece and now a four-piece band.
Yeah.
A full family band for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans to do anything with it, like record an album? Or has it always just been really you doing your thing and your family would be like, hey, can I play along too?
Well, I mean, at first it was like that, but then it turned into a band.
Right.
It was a band. And Golden Dish was definitely, I mean, that was my song, but
right.
everyone had input.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
of course.
So we're not really playing anymore.
Okay.
So... there won't be
did
an album.
Did the band break up?
Kind of.
Everybody
yeah.
had to move out and get their own place?
Yeah.
Don't say it like that. But
yeah.
no, really, seriously, like,
it's,
no more Flaming Hots?
Yeah.
Aw.
It sucks. It was such a good learning experience,
right.
and it was so fun, but my music taste has changed.
Of course.
And
you're in college now. And
yeah.
You have to get out.
Yeah.
And kind of do your own thing, you know?
It's
I mean, I think
we knew it was coming.
In your case, you could do both if you wanted to, but it does become a juggling act.
And, you know, we knew the day would come.
Yeah.
But we didn't know how hard and how sucky it was going to be.
Has it really been?
Yeah.
Now, is it mainly because of school for you or just life in general?
It's just life, yeah. Man.
I get it.
You know.
I've been your age. I know what it's like.
Right. I mean, school is definitely takes up a majority of my time nowadays.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm ready to try new things.
You're really into photography.
Yeah.
You're really into other elements of art, not just music, but you're good at combining music and art together. And mm-hmm. obviously I follow you on Instagram and I'm like your biggest fan.
Oh.
But I mean, you're really good at that stuff.
Well, thank you.
And I just know that when you're dabbling in that world of the art side of things, that I know that's playing a role in your musical way of looking at life.
Yeah.
You know, and it will come in and kind of come out in through your music as well.
Yeah, I think so.
And have you seen any of that anytime recently with what's been going on?
Like,
if you sit down to write a song, mm-hmm. you're in a whole different landscape now than you were a year ago?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot has changed in a year, you know?
So what are you doing? What's going on?
What's going on in Kingstown?
I mean, are you working on anything in particular, or are you just kind of writing and...
I write when I can or when I want to, I guess you could say.
No recordings, no...
There has been... I have talked to Johnny a few times about me coming in and recording some stuff.
Doing some demos and stuff.
Yeah, and I have some ideas in the works right now, some people that I have in mind right now.
Great. And now's the time.
I know. I'm really hoping this summer that I'm going to go out play.
Out of school in between semesters, mm-hmm. you've got to take advantage of that free time.
Yeah. I'm going to really try this time.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, and I'd say even now, that I'm lazy about things, and it just sucks.
You're still young. It's part of it.
But that's not an excuse.
It's not, but it's part of it. I think it's part of the transition.
Yeah, and
you're going from being a teenage kid to an adult, and it's part of it.
Yeah.
But you're already a seasoned professional musician.
Thank you. That's why I don't want to get rid of that, you know? That's what I'm afraid might happen, is that...
I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, I can understand your
point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
But if I can give you any advice right now, it would be don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Okay.
You have too many people in your corner rooting for you, and you have too many musical friends that you can always go to.
You're right.
And you're fine.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
So what is on the horizon for you? What do you see in the future? Or is it just kind of a blank page at
this point? Blank page right now, but I'm like I said, I've been writing some, and it's a lot of acoustic stuff.
Okay.
And I think it would be kind of cool to have like an acoustic kind of something or other.
Good way
out.
To have it. It's stripped down and personal.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
vulnerable.
You can
yeah.
hide behind effects and
yeah.
You know, you can always do that. But
yeah.
if you do like an acoustic songwriting kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
that's a good way to really find you, the real you.
Yeah.
Because the electronic stuff and all that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff.
And you're great at it.
Thank you.
I've seen you live many times with your new pedal boards.
Oh,
you're really good at
that
stuff.
Yeah.
But you've already kind of found your voice in that.
I think that acoustic... I think when I play electric, I'm wanting to play with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I play acoustic because I can do it by myself.
It can be personal. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something... Yeah. You can, I guess, control.
You can.
You can.
It's
really
control, but it's also being extremely open.
Yeah.
And being like, this is me. There's no other things coming around.
And then you can always, you can always take an acoustic song and make it electric.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Or add elements to an acoustic piece that
can build, yeah. you know.
Well, I'm just thinking acoustic, like, if I do have something like that, yeah. I mean...
You can have two versions
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I'll have guitar, and then I can put cello on that.
Yep.
Just, you know, it's, I don't know.
There are no rules.
There's no rules, and, baby.
And with you being the songwriter, it's your book to write.
Yeah.
So do whatever makes you happy.
That's right.
That's all you can do.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I'm sad as a fan.
I'm
that the
sorry.
Kenzie Crow Flaming Hots is gone. But
it really sucks. It
it's
really
part
does.
Of it, though.
Yeah.
It's actually part of it.
Yeah.
And yeah. You need to be yourself and find yourself in this.
Yeah.
But I mean, will you still do obviously do
play with my family? Yes, I'm going to play with my family. Of course I will.
See,
it's
I'll
not
come
that
over
end.
For Christmas, but we're not playing music.
It's not the end. That's what I think, you know.
Well, I think when you say the band part's done, it makes people
yeah, I guess I should be clear is that like we're not on bad terms or anything.
Of course not.
We're still going to play. I mean,
you're
hell.
Just, you're in college. You're doing your thing.
Yeah.
We've already talked about that.
Yeah.
So we know what's up.
Yeah.
But you're going to just take time and find yourself and see what happens, huh?
That's kind of where I am, yeah.
Do you have any plans in the future?
Or? Yeah. Well, like I said, I've got a person in mind that last summer we played some and I think and recorded some.
Okay.
So that we have like two recordings.
Great.
You know, like demos, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
So this summer, I think we're going to try even harder this year and maybe
Fantastic.
Try and play somewhere. I really hope so.
So you've got something on the horizon.
I've got something in the works. Some, yeah. We'll see what happens.
It, the coals in the fire or whatever.
Fingers crossed. Like.
I don't know the old timey things.
I don't either.
Speaking of local music,
mm-hmm.
Anything around here that you're a fan of?
I'm a fan of the Daddy Sisters.
Yes.
I have had that their song on the loop.
This is kind of new to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've known Falcon for, I know who Falcon is for a while, but I don't really know him.
Yeah, he's
But this
great.
Came across my radar as of recording this. Mm-hmm. This was just literally like a week ago.
Yeah.
And I lit up. I missed the show. There was a show at Tidballs.
They're going to be playing here at Matt's.
Yeah, I know, but I missed this show that just recently happened. I was so bummed, but I was in Nashville seeing a band that I'd been waiting to see for a long time, and so I missed this show.
Mm.
But I saw some video footage, and I was like, damn it.
I
wish I was at that show.
It's
but,
awesome.
It is absolutely...
I'm so excited
I
for them.
I am beyond, like, I can't even, like, I fanboy a lot of bands around here, but that...
It's good.
The Daddy Sisters right now is the top of my list.
They are hot right now.
And I hate to like say that. I'm not supposed to say things like that in this role, but I can't help it. I'm a fan.
I am a huge fan.
Musically, visually.
Everything.
Everything about it.
It's
is just
great.
Perfection in my mind. It's awesome.
I love it. I can't wait to see
so
what
Falcon does.
I'm
100% with you on that. Who else are you a fan of out there?
I don't know.
It's hard. There's so many.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously Johnny.
Oh, of course.
And I can't wait for him to... He has an album or something coming out, I think.
I think so.
So I can't wait to hear that.
Did you listen to any of Johnny's past things, like Park Avenue Dregs? Or
no, is it... I don't know
Envious
if that's
State.
On
I know
iTunes
State
or
made
anything.
A record. I don't know. I don't have a clue.
I don't either.
I think...
They're about to play... What is it? The Avenue...
The Park Avenue Dregs are doing a reunion show.
Yes. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Johnny
has an episode of the Sound Atlas, so I'm pretty sure he covers a lot of his time and bands and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
But, I just didn't know if there were bands out there these days that you were a fan of or if you go to see when they play... I know it's
I
hard
can't,
to,
yeah.
You can't sometimes, though, like the all-age kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah. Well, definitely, I think just Daddy Sisters right now. It's my go-to song right now.
I got you.
I was literally, like, running today, and that, like, I loop that song.
I don't blame
I
you.
Loop
I
it.
Really don't.
I don't know if you do this, but if I have a song stuck in my head or whatever, or not even stuck in my head, if I just like a song, I will loop it 8 times.
You have to. I do that.
I do it. I do it more than I'd like to admit.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
When something's good, it's
good. Just, I want to dissect it. Yeah, like, I want to know.
Enough of it.
Yeah.
That's what the joy of music.
Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on giving because you can
push hear different
play
things
again.
Every time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely
That's
do.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. When a band does a really good job of recording, you can be like, oh, I didn't realize there was a keyboard tucked deep in the right side of the speaker there.
Yes.
That's cool. I have seen you many times over the years. Mm-hmm. I've seen you perform on a lot of cool stages in this town, a lot of cool venues out there. I've seen you at the farmer's market or the what is it? The sky? What is that? The Soakie Market?
Oh, you mean Mayhem? When we played?
You played.
That was my favorite
Revolution
show.
Mayhem.
That was the most
fantastic.
Fun show I've ever played.
It was fantastic.
And I can't. The crowd is just so great.
I was
great.
So proud to see you because I've seen you in so many broke down situations.
Yeah.
But I have seen you recently at Tidballs and that. And I was like, it looked right. It looked like you were so comfortable.
I love
That's
it.
That's where you belong.
I love it. I love it.
That's why the future, you're good.
I hope so.
You don't beat yourself up and overthink things. Just, just do your thing and go. Because that's all you have to do at this point.
I love attention.
But you also love music.
Yeah, but attention is great.
I'm
humble, too.
And you got your own episode of the Sound Atlas. And you'll get lots of attention when this comes out. Kenzie, I cannot thank you enough for sitting down and talking with me today.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your time. I appreciate your friendship. We've become friends over the last couple of years, and I actually got to be, I have to say this just because I was in the Flaming Hots for one show.
Yes, you were, and you were great.
Your dad was going to be out of town.
And then he was there.
And then he showed up, which was great. But you all called me like 24 hours notice and said, can you do this show?
Yeah.
And then you sent me like, what, 10 songs?
Yeah, something like that.
I learned all the songs in like 24 hours, and I came and played the show. And as I'm setting up my drums, your dad walks up, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I got done early, so I'm just going to sit out here in the crowd and enjoy the show.
Watch
and I was like, oh, my God.
I know. Well, you got to know that after the show, he was like, when he got that view of like what he were, he was like, we're a tight band.
Oh, yeah.
We are tight. And I was like... No.
Probably because I was back there stinking it up.
No! Because Captain Dean was rocking it.
I had a ball. I mean, it was in Scottsville, and there weren't that many people there.
Oh, yeah, you
but
know. There never are.
I was like, if I closed my eyes during those songs, I was having such a good time.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to be a Flaming Hot, and I had a good time. But it was an honor to work with you. And it's an honor to know you, and I appreciate you doing this today.
Well, same to you, and thank you so much for
having
me.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you around.